Thank you for these words. Okay. Another thing, my brother Guy was often asked to house sit when I was growing up, and it'd be easy to understand why my older brother Guy was asked to house sit, because he's meticulous, very disciplined. You see how he keeps his room and his cars, and that's the type of person you'd want to watch over your house. Who did they not ask to house sit? Me and my other brother Israel when we were in college. Complete slobs, lots of fun, but we probably would have left the front door open. Stewardship. What are you good at? What do you do? All of us, and even in this room, our peers can look and say things that some of us are really good stewards of certain things. And some of us are not good stewards of other things. And it's not, the point isn't to knock down things, I really want to focus on the stewardship that I don't think I've ever seen a teaching done on it. If somebody, think about that with children, with kids. My first job was at Sonic. We had a teenage manager who was 18 years old that would do anything to be popular. Is that a good manager?
No.
When you got 15 and 16 year old kids that would do anything to be popular, guess what we did?
Nothing.
We did whatever we wanted. Because I'm not your friend anymore. Whatever. I'm going to go. That guy that got a job as a manager at Sonic was probably very smart. Obviously, you're running a business at 18. But he was not a good steward of relationships because he couldn't tell people no. Teenagers and kids are all over this with a substitute teacher or a babysitter. Oh, doesn't like to say no. You can see that even with parents, with kids, or if you're going to get married to somebody or somebody already has kids, and if the words, "I hate you," comes out of the kid's mouth and the parents buckle at the knees, they're not a good steward of kids because that's not what a kid needs. The scripture says, spare the rod of correction destroys the child. The kid needs structure. And so here's the whole thing. And so it doesn't mean those parents are bad people, but in this area, you are not a good steward of kids. No, you're not. And if somebody, every time he says, "I hate you," okay, here's the car keys. Would somebody say, "Well, you know, I got a job for you. Why don't you run this elementary school?" If you cave to little kids here, you can't be in. So have good stewardship. Matthew chapter 25 and through over and over and over again, the parables is give an account. The vineyard. What did you do with my vineyard? He sent his servants. He killed them. Give an account. What did you do with it? Matthew 25 also, he gives the stewards 5 minas, 3 minas, and 1 mina. And he comes and goes, what did you do with it? Do with what? The money I gave you. Galatians chapter 6:7 says, Yahweh is not a man that he should be mocked. That what you sow, you'll reap. Now, I've heard teachings on this saying that what you sow, you'll reap could be applied. If you need money, you should plant money. If you need time, you should invest time. If you need affection, it didn't specifically say that, but it makes a lot of sense. Specifically with financial giving. What's the hardest thing for you to give if you're broke? Money. And you're going to stay broke unless you invest and give Yahweh your first fruits. And these kind of concepts. But so we're used to those teachings. But now we're going to focus on people. Teachers. I was looking at my niece's musical concert and I was watching her talk and it occurred to me. What do you call her? What's your title?
Miss Tyler.
Title.
Music teacher.
And I looked at her. She's not a teacher. She's a coach. Mm-hmm. To me, there's a difference between a coach and a teacher. Teachers kind of teach. A coach is, hey, boop, ha, ha, ha. And I was listening to the way she talked. I'm like, she's not a teacher. She's a coach. And you can see she's very good at structure. She cares about kids. And the kids respond. She's a good steward of kids. And that's usually how I think of coaches, not necessarily teachers. And so I was looking at that going, that's a good steward of kids. I would trust her with other things because I've been watching how she handled relationships with people. And so what I like to think about is that with this teaching, Christ is coming back when?
We don't know.
He's an undercover boss. Any second. As long as you, hey, what's the problem with the audit if you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing, right? Just do your job. Do your job. Are you doing your job? No, I'm going to wait until I'm, when I was 14, when I get to be 16, then I'll start becoming responsible. And then when I was 16, when I'm 18, then I'm 20, when I'm 30, when I'm 40, well then I'll finally read through the whole Bible when I'm 60. Or whatever the excuses are, Christ is coming back. And if people are good stewards with people, with Christians now, would it make sense for Christ to reward them with more stewardship? If Christians in this life, if somebody's really good with money, really good with money, distributing, but they're poor with people, I don't like people, then they won't work on their people skills at all. Okay, you're good with money. Nobody's going to come get your autograph or whatever, but I'm not saying that somebody's not a people skill. I'm saying they don't work on it. It would make sense that when Christ comes back, you're going to be a banker or you're going to be managing a vineyard. If somebody's really good with people, but they can't handle money, we know people like that, right? You just can't handle money. Great. You're probably not going to be a banker. You could be an administrator or whatever, handling people. Okay, that makes sense. How much more so with teachers today? Christian pastors, we will stand up against communism, this and that. And it's easier to stand up against wicked people. But when it comes to standing up against Christians, we're going to look at some tests where people fail, and most do fail when it comes to these standards. So pastors, if a pastor is not teaching the word now, okay, well, we'll just pause that right there. Who says there's not going to be teaching the word on the new earth? Yahweh loves his word. Does he not? Mm-hmm. Does Yahweh love problems to get figured out? Yes. Does he love faith? Yes. Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing for him. If anything, when Christ comes back, there's going to be more faith needed from us. Does that make sense? More is going to be required? Yeah, okay, there's going to be jobs and all kinds of things. There's going to be teachers. There's going to be pastors. There's going to be people rulers of tens and twenties. What did Jesus Christ tell his disciples when Peter went, "Time out! You said it's easier for a rich man or a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to go in?" What the? Enter into this rulership, and Christ, and he said, "What are we going to get?" And Christ says, 12 thrones. What does a throne mean? It's going to be ruling people. And so these guys are being sifted. There are a lot of people that could have got saved, that followed Jesus Christ, washed his feet. But these guys, what were they going to do? What's the most valuable asset Yahweh has? Is it donkeys? Is it money? Or is it his kids? If my niece, my parents were out of town, and I was put in stewardship to take care of my niece, and they came back, and I just wanted to be her friend. What did you do? You let her drink and drive and take the car and throw a party? Well, it didn't start out that way. It was a slippery slope. What's more important to my parents, a car or the niece they raised? They're going to be the relationships. And I believe that's why the disciples, what are they going to be stewards of? Well, the opportunity was to be stewards of people, sheep. For Jesus, or Yahweh was watching King David shepherd what? Sheep. And he wouldn't kill a lion and a bear. And I believe all of this belongs to Yahweh. That sheep belongs to Yahweh. I belong to Yahweh. You're not stealing Yahweh's things. And he wouldn't kill the lion and the bear. And Yahweh went, and you can imagine the angels went, "You get that? Got it." Wow. We got a job for this guy. Would it make sense for David after resurrection to be in charge of a lot of people?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
He's good with them.
Was he a coward to people? Was he afraid to be hated?
No.
I'd say, unless he's hated by Yahweh. As long as he was in right standing with Yahweh, let everybody else depart. And that was King David. And so again, the waiver is not to be picking on any of the pastors. We're thankful for everybody advancing the ball. They could be really good with business. Kenneth Copeland, I've been blessed by his teaching in certain areas. But when it comes back to an account, what did you do with my word? And then I think that it only makes sense that if you aren't worthy, if you aren't faithful with little, you're not going to be faithful with much. Kenneth Copeland, come in. You're not going to be running things. You'll be doing something else. You have a nice building. Maybe you have music. You do these other things. But you're not going to be running thousands and thousands of people. Well, why? What's my name? Lord! Fast. You're embarrassed to say my name? No. I was thinking about that. You know it's an offensive word these days? Trump. Not to me.
Yeah.
I love it. But if you even say the word around some people, are they offended? Yes. Yes. Can you imagine somebody wanting to get a job, but they're not going to say the word Trump? Why aren't you going to say, well, it's really offensive. I like Trump. My family likes Trump. But it's a little bit offensive. We're just going to call him boss. Right? Isn't that job application for Trump Towers? Well, yeah. I love the guy. You're ashamed of his name? Well, he doesn't know that. Oh, actually, he does. He sees everything, and you're embarrassed of his name. At the resurrection, these leaders, I don't think they're going to be ashamed of Jesus' Father's name. The name that's above every name. Oh, it's really taboo. People really don't like it. You have your reward. Does he like it? He loves it! But you won't say it. Okay, we got some jobs from over here, over here. But the people running Trump Towers are not going to be ashamed of Donald Trump. They're going to have his name everywhere. Same with Yahweh. It's just an easy way to sift out. Are you worthy with the word? Will you say his name? Well, we don't believe that is his name. Hey, you don't got to convince me. Let's open up a book. And guess what pastors won't do with us? They won't open up the book. They won't even engage. They have their reward. Exodus chapter 32, we're going to look at a test. Test. This whole life is a test. This is an audition. I think my concept, and with most Christians' concept, is the objective, we would say it's to be right, but what it really is, it's to be right standing with the group you want to blend into. I want to be with the Christians. I want to be in the group. What do they believe? Because when you tell Christians what's in the Word, and then they look at their group, and then they look at the Word, and they look at their group, and what do most Christians do? I'm in with that group. And so the objective is, for a lot of people, is I want to blend in with the group. And that's where we got him. I said, do you want to blend in with that group, or do you want to blend in with your Lord and Savior and His Father? I'll do anything for my Lord and Savior. Anything? Anything. It says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you, all right? You know his dad's name's Yahweh. No, it's not. Got a minute? His dad's name's Yahweh. It's everywhere. Indisputable. And you look at that and you're going to go, will you say his name? No. I don't think anybody's ever says that, but you'll watch their languages. And I was guilty of the same thing. I was like, oh my goodness, I'll be really weird then. Is the objective to be weird? Actually, Yahweh loves peculiar people. Are you going to take it for him? Are people going to pick on you and make fun of you for his name's sake? Do you know what happened if somebody was fighting for President Trump and fighting for President Trump at Bishop Carroll High School and people were picking on him and they shaved her head? And they threw her into the toilet, and President Trump found out about that. If he had it in the time, what would he do? If he had the ability with his time, he'd probably come down here and go, you suffered that from me? We know he suffered for us. But people are ashamed to be affiliated with him. Why? Because the world will attack him. Christians will do the same thing. If you don't blend into their sect, what happens if you're not a Catholic? You're out. You got to stick this in. And what if you're not a Protestant? Well, then you're a Mormon. But Exodus chapter 32, we're going to look at a test. And in this illustration, right after this account, I'd like us to imagine, did Moses know when the end of his life was going to be? No. Did Aaron know when the end of his life was going to be? No. Do you or I know when Christ is coming back? No. So after we read this, I'm going to say, cut the tape. What if Christ just came back? That's it! And I'm going to say, grade their homework. So in Exodus chapter 32, verse 19, Moses goes up on the mountain. This is after the Ten Commandments. What's the first commandment? I am Yahweh, not the Lord. I am Yahweh, thy Elohim. Thou shalt not have any other Elohims. Do we have to say Yahweh? Can we just call you Lord? Can you imagine going to Moses? Second one, you shall have any other images of me. Okay, here it is. There's the two great commandments. Moses comes back down. They've already made two images, God the Father and God the Son. Well, two golden calves, two other images. And I'm sure, what does Aaron say in this? Today they're going to say God the Father, God the Son is Yahweh. Well, that's what Aaron said over here in verse 5. Go back to verse 5. After he made two images, why did he have those images? Because man wants images. How did Aaron justify it?
A festival to
Yahweh. That's how he justified it. So today when you talk about, you're saying Jesus is the creator and you have an image of him. Have you read the second commandment? You can't have an image of him and God the Holy Spirit. What are these images? No. And so what they'll do is they'll say, it's the same. It's all in one. It's not an image. And you go, yeah, that's the same thing that Aaron said. Let's just see what Yahweh thought about his excuse and his reasoning. But some of you read 19 through 25.
And it came to pass when he drew near unto the camp and saw the calf and the dancings that the anger of Moses kindled. And he cast out of his hands the tablets and brake them in pieces at the foot of the mountain. Then took he the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it till it became powder and strewed it on the face of the waters and made the sons of Israel drink.
He made him drink it? Holy moly, Aaron, coward. Oh, God, oh, this is going to be a revolt. Just do whatever they want. Drink it. You can imagine getting down. Is this something different? Okay, now keep going. 21.
And Moses said unto Aaron, what had this people done to thee that thou shouldest have brought upon thee them a great sin? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord kindle. Thou thyself knowest the people.
And that's what pastors are going to planning on saying to Jesus Christ when they're judged. What'd you do? Give an account. You know the people. You know that it says in scriptures, not in the book of Exodus, that Yahweh was going to kill Aaron, mm-hmm. Aharon. I think it's either in Deuteronomy or Numbers. It doesn't say it in Exodus. He was going to die. Pastors are going to do the same thing at the resurrection. I'll get to this idolatry, this other stuff. I'll get to it eventually. And he's going to go, you don't have to convince me. You have to convince the auditor. And what's going to happen? Aaron said the same thing. You know the people. What did you do? Okay. 23.
What? 23. So they said to me, make for us gods who shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what hath befallen him. And I said to them, whosoever hath gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf. And Moses saw the people, the unbridled they were, for Aaron had given them the ring. For a whispering among their enemies.
Verse 26, Moses took his stand in the gate of the camp and said, who's for Yahweh? Remember, they had already drank it. What do you think that was like with Moses' drink? These guys are having sexual morality. Hey, when the cat's out to play, the rat's about to play. So here it is. Hey, Moses is God, as if Yahweh's not watching. Pastors, what you're teaching, your auditor's watching you. And if you're not warning your pastors, shame on you. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you're teaching Aaron, you're not correcting him. But, and then what does he say here to me? Then gathered him all the sons of Levi, and he said, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel, put every man his sword on his thigh, pass through and return from gate to gate in the camp, and slay every man his brother, every man his friend, and every man his neighbor. Two different people. If Christ came back, or that was the end of their life, cut! Who was a good steward of Yahweh's children?
Moses.
Or Aaron? Aaron failed. And later on, Aaron would have been put to death. But Moses interceded for him. So, at the resurrection, now Aaron does a 180. So he does a big 180. I think there's just this and the one time murmuring. I got a lot more ears than that guy does. But if the resurrection was here, would it make sense that if Aaron was a poor steward with people, would he be in charge of a town or a country? You can't handle people. You're still going to have to be dealing with people on the new earth. Aaron, if you caved that early, you're a good guy. We know Aaron Aharon's a really good guy. But if his life ended right then, no. He'll be in charge of even sheep or something else. Moses, We got jobs. We need rulers, just like the 12 thrones, and there's going to be governors and all kinds of things. Moses could handle everything. There's very few people like Moses, but we are to try to do that. To be like a Moses. Moses passed, Aharon failed. Later on, Aharon is going to continue passing because of his brother. Gideon, we don't have to go there. Gideon chapter 6. Gideon's great. Because in Gideon's situation, what's going to happen? People are going to die. You know, my dad's the one that pointed it out, this fleece. People are putting fleeces out and whether they should ask a girl on a date. You can't compare that to Gideon. Gideon's talking about dropping a nuclear weapon. This is serious war. A lot of people are going to die. I'm going to put a fleece out to see if I should... But anyway, what was Gideon doing? This is a serious war. And what was the response of Gideon? It's too many. Too many people. Who told Gideon that? Yahweh did. And what did Gideon tell the people? Get him out of here. What if so many people didn't want to come? Was he a good steward of people? Would he handle Yahweh's sheep the way Yahweh said, handle my sheep? Gideon passed? Yeah. Get out of here. And in that part, well, that's easy because they're going to go to war. What's going to happen after he wins the war? What's going to happen? I believe it's Ephraim's going to come to go to war with him. Hey, why don't you let us come to war with you? After all the works down there, they got all the wealth. And what does Gideon do? Gets in their face. I don't bow down to Yahweh's sheep. I represent Yahweh. Would Gideon have passed the test? Can he handle stewardship of people? Can he handle a church? Yes. Why? Because he doesn't cower to the children. So Gideon passed. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13. And there'd be time and time again that I would have failed and failed and failed. But we try until we get things right. We get up, and I've cowered because if there's anybody in this room that loves people and adores people, I'm probably the most, and I probably compromise the most because I really like people. That's a problem. Because it's infidelity. Infidelity. You're unfaithful. What's more important, being faithful with money or somebody's children? Well, your children said they hate my guts. Will you do it for me? Yeah, I can imagine my mom and my dad disciplining their kids at time going, it really crushed you guys. But you stuck together. Chapter 13, verse 11. When King Shaul is confronted by the prophet, what does he say? Would somebody read that for me?
Then said Samuel, what hast thou done? Saul said, because I saw that the people had been scattered from me.
So we just pause right there. So the point of this teaching, what was the point of his excuse? The people are leaving. The people are leaving. Gideon, it would appear, Gideon was not having that same time. If he could have compared Gideon, if King Shaul would have had an advisor going, if people leave, let them leave. We wait for Yahweh. Here this is a lot easier said than done. I've never been in that case. But for this illustration, did he pass the test of being a steward of people? No. No, he does not. He does not pass the test here. He continues to be a king for a while, and Yahweh does do that. Yahweh did that with Jeroboam. Jeroboam builds two gods. Yahweh didn't wipe them out. He's getting the job done, but the point of this teaching is at the resurrection, what have you been faithful with? Were you faithful with my word? Were you faithful with my children? But King Saul says, you saw the people. With this illustration, would he be in charge of many people at the resurrection? You got your reward. That's it. What would King David have done? Let him go. And people followed David. And even after Saul's done, they send for David. They go, do you want me to be king? And they ask, and then he inquired, Yahweh, do you want me to go? So David, he says, Yahweh, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. He did have some mistakes. But for the most part, if Yahweh would have told David, resign, David would have said, got it. Done. I'm going to go shepherd some sheep. I believe David would have done. But Yahweh didn't want that. Yahweh wanted him, you be the king. And so, let me see. I think Kenneth Copeland and Joel Osteen do a lot of good. They do a whole lot of good. But are they faithful with the word? They would say they are. They're faithful with their own doctrine. If you'd ever sat down, I'd give my life savings if Kenneth Copeland would sit down and discuss the scriptures with my father on national TV. Because he wouldn't. Because you can't defend their infidelity with scriptures. Their infidelity is there. Why? That's what the sheep want. And that's how you keep the sheep together. What would happen if Kenneth Copeland or... And again, I'm thankful for them. I'm fed from both of them. But as far as the resurrection, with their job done, what would happen if Kenneth Copeland started... He didn't make any statements, but he started saying Yahweh. You guys make a speculation. If he started referring to our Creator as Yahweh and his son Yehoshua, what do you think would happen to his audience?
Then you'd be gone. Well, not all of them.
Do you think you'd get more audience or less? I think it'd be thinned out. Same way with Joel Osteen. You start saying even Yahweh's name is offensive to Christians. If they would start saying, what if Kenneth Copeland just said, okay, I don't know how I'm going to unclean all this up, but what if he just said, I want to do a teaching. Ephesians 1 says Jesus has a God. Jesus does have a God. Ephesians 1:17, Jesus has a God. You guys got that? Okay. Now we're also going to look at is how many characters there are, main characters. God the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, each one of the church epistles. And then he goes through each one of them. You see God the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. Then you go to the book of Revelation, how many thrones? 2. What do you think would happen if Kenneth Copeland did that? It'd be speculation. But if any big churches did it, what's going to happen? The sheep are going to start leaving. And that's one of the reasons why they don't do it. They have their reward. Don't want to lose sheep. And I can understand that because I don't want to lose men or lose friends. I'm single. If I was dating somebody, I'm like, oh man, I don't want to be weird. I want to have things in common. It's understandable. He works with all of us and he'll work with us. But as far as who's going to be running things in the new earth, it's going to be those who are faithful in this one. Who's going to be running the churches and the facilities or the synagogues? Those who are faithful in this one. Turn to 2 Timothy. So the Rotherham, 2 Timothy 1:7, other translations are going to mess up this word, cowardly. Verse 7, for Yahweh hath not given us a spirit of cowardice. Other translations are going to say fear. If you look at the context, you're going to see why it's the word cowardice. It's not fear. But of power, love, and correction. And you're going to read this. Did the Apostle Paul finish his race? Yes. And at the end of 2 Timothy, it says, my dad pointed this out, was he boiled alive, hung upside down, crucified? No, 2 Timothy 4, verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every wicked work and will bring me safe into his heavenly kingdom unto whom be the glory of ages and ages. Amen. So the Apostle Paul finished his race. He's warning Timothy, don't be a coward. Pastors, don't be a coward. Leaders, don't be a coward. I didn't want to teach the word. Heck no, I don't want to teach the word. I want to be in the back and blend in. And somehow I got pulled being around the front stage. Was not my idea, buddy. Baby. But if you read, and go down to verse 15, the Apostle Paul's talking about being a coward. Would somebody read verse 15?
Of whom he thou also on thy guard, for he hath greatly withstood our words.
2:15 you're talking about?
Yeah.
2:15.
Oh, sorry, 1:15. Sorry, 1:15. Sorry. I said 2:15, not 1:15. So, go ahead and read that.
1:15. Thou knowest this, that all they who are in Asia have turned away from me, of whom are Jesus and Hermogenes.
They have turned away. Did the Apostle Paul give them the reins?
Yep.
No.
No.
Oh, I thought he did.
To give them the reins is to give them what they want. to keep them there.
Oh, to the people.
All Haran, the people were going to rebel and probably leave. And maybe it was to stall time. He gave them the reins. Just give them what they want to stall. You can imagine parents doing the same thing with the kids.
Yeah.
I've been there. When you're sitting there, you're going to just give them something. I'm good. And then you got to go back and go, is it right or not? Tough love, not easy. But the Apostle Paul's talking about being coward. Don't be a coward. You just go all the way down to verse 15. I know a little bit of this about cowardice. Everybody in Asia departed. What do you think the Apostle Paul had? Who planted the seeds in Asia? The Apostle Paul. Do you think this was sensitive for him? You kidding me? Everybody turns?
You're not talking about village either.
But did he give them the reins like Saul did? Did he give them the reins like Aharon to keep people? No. If they reject Yahweh, they reject me. My fidelity, my faithfulness comes to Yahweh. And he's showing them through example. I could have turned too, possibly, but I didn't go chasing after them. If a wife departs, let her depart. It says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, right? They're going to depart, let them go. Now, keep reading, and we're going to go up to chapter 4, verse 2. Proclaim the word. Take thy position. What is your position? Fidelity to the scriptures. Not the winning people. Not the beginning converts. Not the how many people they say that got baptized this week. Look how many numbers we have. You have your reward. Take your position in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with all long suffering and teaching. Or be slow to anger, I think. For there will be a season when a healthful teaching will they not endure. Apostle Paul knows a little bit about that. And he's warning Timothy. Because they have an itching ear. They want the reins. They want the reins. They want the reins. And from the truth indeed, their ears will turn away unto heavens for real. Stories about children going to heaven and coming back with new information. New prophets. Do people love that? And another thing of the stories, you want to change the church doctrine? Real easy. I could change New Spring or whatever. You know how you do it? Really good music that the people want.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they start doing a song, and then they put in one or two words that's inaccurate, and then the pastor's like, you can't say that. You can't say that. But they're not going to take the reins back. They won't even call it the Democrat Party. Are you kidding me? The persecutors of their Lord and Savior, sodomy, coveting thy neighbor's goods, sexual immorality, whatever, abortion, those are the persecutors of the church. Churches won't even call them out because they're in the pews. But they'll turn aside into health, unto storage, will they turn themselves aside. And so, but be sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, the ministry completely full. And as far as we know, Timothy passed his test. As far as we know, I don't know. Well, we pass our tests. And the objective is, well, all of us have stuff that we're good at. But the purpose is not for us to... You know what's really good about bodybuilding and probably modeling? But in bodybuilding, apart from the idolatry and the stuff that can be very slippery slope, is it forces you to work on your weaknesses. How many people like to work on their weaknesses?
Nope.
No. You don't want to work on a weakness. But when you go into bodybuilding, they go, you need to work on your... Me, it was my calves. It didn't matter what I couldn't ever get my calves big. It was depressing, focusing on my weakness. But the purpose was, you got some weaknesses, do something! Well, they never respond. Do something. You got a show coming up. If you're going to be doing bodybuilding, do something. You got time. Fine, I'll do it. But it forces you to work on weaknesses. And with all of us, with our resume, are you working on your weaknesses and stuff and encouraging people? And Romans chapter 10, verse 3. And you think about that. How many pastors are out there teaching and they'll give a spirit-led word and they're being used. But when they look at fidelity, are they going, holy moly, our praise band just sang a song to Holy Spirit? Are you kidding me? There's no singing songs. Yahweh says, my adoration, I'm a jealous Elohim. He's got his son. And the scriptures, the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts is a personification of the Ruah. But there is no character through the rest of the book. There's only still two thrones. Do the pastors know this? Absolutely they know this. And you have to imagine at times that there's these sobering moments going to go, what are you going to do? And they said, whether they have the reward or not. But Luke 14:11 says, he that exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. I wonder how many pastors maybe possibly walk away because they can't teach here. We don't know. Hopefully there's a lot. You know, I can't teach this. I'll do something else. But Romans chapter 10, verse 3, somebody read that.
For not knowing God's righteousness in their own seeking to establish unto the righteousness of God, have they not submitted? Keep going.
Yeah. Let's see, let me get there. Verse 10. Brethren, the delight of my own heart, my supplication Godward in their behalf, are for salvation. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for Yahweh, but not according to correct knowledge. Do people have a zeal for Jesus Christ? Yes, but he's not the creator. And he's not blessed when you exalt him above his father. So they have it, but we've got to go back and go, your intentions are right, but David danced before the Ark of the Covenant when Uzziah died. They had praise and worship, as you would call it. Not worship. Worship's get down. Was there music? Yeah. Was David's heart right? Yeah. Boom! Uzziah's dead. Yahweh was not pleased. When Josiah found the scroll, he'd been ruling for like 13 years. Things are going pretty good. It says Yahweh's dead. Things that was right in the eyes of Yahweh. What happened after they read the scroll? Would they find out? He said, go inquire a prophet. Yahweh is very upset. He's slow to anger. And guess what happened? You're right. You guys are all about ready to get popped. And so how many Christians and the teachings and stuff, because you're getting away with it or whatever, it hasn't been confronted yet. He is slow to anger. Now we'll end and finish in James chapter 3. So in stewardship, what are you good? What are you faithful in this life? What will you be faithful in the next life? Stewardship, if somebody's good with children, if they're good with cars, if they're good machinery, maybe somebody's a really good farmer, and maybe they take extra care of animals, or they're going to be animals on the new earth. Yes. So there's going to be work? Absolutely there's going to be work. And there's going to be some people that are going to inherit huge farms. They'll be in charge of all this stuff. But when it comes to stewardship of Yahweh's children, let us point teachers and those who love their teachers, chapter 3, verse 1. Let somebody read this.
Not many teachers become ye my brethren, knowing that a severe sentence shall ye receive. For oft are you stumbling, one and all. If anyone in word does not stumble, the same as a mature man, able to curb even the whole body.
There's a specific warning about a stewardship as a teacher, Yahweh's children.
Yeah.
That was the reason why I didn't want to teach. When we got teachers teaching in error, if you care about that teacher, you've never confronted them, how do you say you have the love of God that is in you? You know there's error. You know they're going to be judged tougher than any other thing. And you don't warn them? Warn them. And if they reject you, then you have kept the reins and your fidelity with Yahweh. But as far as the resurrection, who's going to be in charge? Who's going to be doing the teachings? The churches? The roles are going to be 100% reversed. The last will be first and the first will be last. Faithful with little, faithful with much. Noah had 8 people. He passed the test. He did not cower to the billions and billions. And what will you have at the resurrection? Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for the Ruah. We thank you for all the believers that came before us to help us purify ourselves, specifically through my father's ministry, E.W. Bull, Rotherham, Adam Clark. Youngs. And we thank you, Father, for Victor Paul Werewolf and all those people that have helped us get so far as we are. And we thank you that we are not complete until we are like Christ. All of us have a lot of work, but help us. We thank you for those big Bible studies that I can imagine this group right here, we can handle the reins. And so we just thank you, Father, for these words. Know that my rewards are bigger than anything you can imagine. But I can't hijack your imagination. I ask you to use the imagination that I have given to you to glorify me. I've given you a body, and I've given you freedom will, and it's up to you to glorify your body for my sake. If you use your body to do wicked things, am I glorified? No. Use your imagination not to wander and think about trivial things, but about the rewards and that great meeting that we'll have and the position that you'll have. Ahead of you is great rewards. My son was able to endure the death of the cross. Let this be a reminder to you that my son passed the test, and at the end of his ministry, he had three people with him. He had James, his mom, and a repentant, but he was a good steward. He only had three people, and he inherited the biggest percentage of all people. Amen.